This is the I Read Comic Books podcast. This week's episode was recorded on January 31st, 2016. If you haven't listened to an episode of this show before today, we have to admit that this may not be the best episode to jump on. We suggest maybe going back to 5 or even 10 episodes just to get a feel for the show. The reason being is this week's episode is an anniversary show where some of our longest running guests will be chatting about the past year of I Read Comic Books and everything that goes along with that. It's going to be really meta and everyone's going to cry, and chances are we're going to be renumbering the show next week, so who cares? Continuity's for chumps. So if you're really into that, here's this week's episode. This is the I Read Comic Books podcast. It's the annual, it's the 1 year anniversary of this show. I am your host, Mike Rappin, editor in chief for Destroy the Cyborg. With me this week are three of the most dedicated people I've ever met in terms of comic book podcasting. So let's get the niche down very, very small here. I'm here with Nick White.
Hey.
Paul Jaisley.
Hello.
And Xander Riggs, our editor and the most beautiful man I've ever met.
Hi. And that's weird.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to the annual. None of this makes sense, and none of it matters.
Welcome to the annual. You've paid too much, you won't get much.
Yeah. Exactly.
And ultimately, commitment to canon is questionable.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, what did you guys read this week? How have comic books been? Paul?
Comics have been good, I'm assuming. I was actually very busy this week, so I didn't get a chance to make it to the store until yesterday, Saturday. And I was out of town that day as well, so I didn't have much to read or much time to read anything. I made it a point to bring my copy of Batman 48 with me to read in the car when I was on a road trip on Saturday.
Nice.
So I read that and enjoyed that immensely. I really like what Scott Snyder's doing with this current story. I think it's the most interesting story arc he's done on Batman. And of course, like I say, every time I talk about this title, issue 50, when Bruce Wayne finally is Batman again, I feel like it's going to be important. Like I'm very enthusiastic about this book in a way that even though I've enjoyed it in the past, I really haven't been, you know, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've enjoyed the book, you know, since they relaunched it, but this particular arc is just clicking for me. The other thing I read this week, I bought a bunch of the volumes of Grant Morrison's JLA from the mid-90s.
Oh, cool.
Very cheap on Comixology, so I've just been just tearing through that stuff. I'm in volume 3 right now. And it's been a great like trip down memory lane, because this is stuff I read when it was first coming out. But I think I was like 14 or 15 at the time, and then even then it was a little bit over my head. So going back and rereading it, and having read most of Grant Morrison's other major works, it's kind of like a really nice treat to go back and revisit. And these comics are awesome. Like, aside from some questionable 90s coloring choices and the and the presence of the blue Electro Superman, other than that, they're great comics. They don't feel dated. I mean, they're very great stuff.
I actually thought that suit was cool, though.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's weird. I think Grant Morrison actually makes it work. Like, he actually, like, explores what he can do with his powers, and, like, everyone kind of treats it like, yeah, this is weird, but it's kind of okay. But when he comes back...
I have no idea what this is. Like, there is no reference in my mind for this. Okay.
So in like 97, for about a year or so, they gave Superman like a whole new set of powers that were like electricity based, and he had a blue like containment suit. So
there was
like
a story reason, but I can't remember why.
I thought you were talking about the blue Superman that followed Death of Superman.
No. This is after that. Yeah. So
okay.
I was gonna say 97 is too late. That's like 4 years later.
It's very unfortunate because it's very dated, like the suit. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely looks like something he created in 97. But Grant Morrison actually, like, goes out of his way to, like, explain, like, well, if Superman has these electromagnetic powers, like, he can, like, do all these interesting things. Like, there's a point where he's, like, just reading the data off a compact disc. You know what I mean? Like, that's
all right,
that's
Magneto, like slow it down.
Okay.
This sounds so not Grant Morrison. Like, I was expecting some weird acid trip or something, and powers that are vaguely explained, not like Grant Morrison, like, grabbing, you know, popular mechanics for kids or something trying to, like, boil that down for people. This is a lever, and that's a gear.
The problem is, like, he obviously doesn't like, I mean, this was an editorial edict that came down, like, okay, this is Superman now, and he has to deal with that. So, like, the first story arc is just the regular Superman, And Grant Morrison loves writing Superman. So when it's like, actually, no, this like weird blue electric guy, that's Superman now. You can tell Grant Morrison's like really struggling how to make sense of that and deal with it. And I think that was kind of like a hang up on the book for him. It was like, this isn't really what the character I was trying to write. You know what I mean?
So it's really weird to see Grant Morrison in a position where it's not like in the New 52 where he would just refuse to like get in contact with the guy who was writing Superman so they could be on the same page. This is like this is Grant Morrison having to toe the line. I mean, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
It was him toeing the line, but at the same time it was like he sort of determined.
Don't you like defend Grant Morrison? Grant Morrison doesn't need your help.
Like he took this like editorial edict and was like, "Okay, but I'm going to like do this how I want." And so
do you.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry. Yeah.
I mean, it's great stuff. I mean, if you haven't read it, it's well worth checking out. I think it's a very unique, interesting time in superhero comics. And they're like big, over-the-top, wide-scope, cinematic superhero comics. A lot of fun. And even back then, Grant Morrison clearly is like positioning Batman to be the best character in the Justice League. So, yeah.
Was this the time during which we got Tower of Babel?
I think that's right after this.
Are we still calling it Babel? Is it Babel or Babel? Babel. Like, what are
it's
we?
Babel.
Oh boy.
Sorry.
These are things that
like I come across while editing the show, and then I just get really, really frustrated, and then I never say it to anybody.
This week, but now that I'm on the show to bring another this week is Xander on the show. Everything.
Next week, in order to reestablish order, he will not be on the show.
Exactly.
Tower of Babel
was
just
a really weird time
when
DC thought it would be a cool idea to put Neil Gaiman's Sandman into the Justice League.
Well, he wasn't in it, but he interacted with
not like a member of the team, but literally he was present within the book in some capacity.
Yeah,
it was like American Dream.
Yet.
Yeah. There was like the series it was like an arc, I think, called American Dream where he like literally was like he worked with them directly.
Yeah. Thomas or whatever the name of the kid was who took over after can we spoil the end of Sandman? Is that like
I don't want you to.
No all spoilers.
Right. All right.
Don't.
All right.
And I'm never going to read it, Nick. It's all right.
I want to read it, though.
Don't encourage him.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, with Sandman, you reach volume, like, 6, and you're like, how many more, like, non-Morpheus volumes are there? And Neil Gaiman's like, oh, there's a couple.
All of them.
Anyway.
So, Xander, what did you read this week?
This week I read just a handful of things that came out last week, but the big thing that I read, which didn't come out recently, but I finally finished The Surface, which was only 4 issues. I finally I had issue 4 sitting in my inbox, and I was like, okay, I need to be in the right mindset for this. I don't want to think it, you know, read it and think that it's terrible because of whatever, you know, is going on internally for me. So I was just kept putting it off and putting it off. And then I had a talk with you, Mike, about The Surface, and you were like, oh man, you have to finish it. And it's something about that just like galvanized me. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to read it right now. And oh my God, that series is like the most beautiful thing that I've read recently. It's all sorts of introspection that you don't get from a lot of other series, or it's a different level of introspection, I think, because it gets really meta at more than a few points. And then the way that the series ends, just it pushed at my emotions in just the right way, and I just felt
confused.
No, I think when I set down the book at the end, it was like a sense of catharsis. Like the way that they ended the story felt very, very well done. It was very natural, and it completed the arc of the characters, but also sort of the meta arc for the creative team, specifically Alice Cott. And the issues are like $2 a piece on Comixology, and you can probably pick them up for that price or cheaper at your local comic shop. And it's so worth the read. It's only 4 issues, but it pushes at so many different issues that you don't see in like 90% of other comic books that are out there, especially mainstream comics. And it handles those topics in such a way. It's just a very, very personal story, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. like you said, is very rare for any comic coming from the big four, or even the big six, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
If we're looking at Oni and Boom as being right, part of right. that top tier, right?
Yeah.
You usually only see, I think what Kot did with his with the Surface is something you wouldn't normally see outside of very like self like very low level self published books or maybe web comics.
Yeah.
And it again, as you said, it blows your mind. It's a fantastic read.
Yeah.
I'm glad you read that. That's super yeah. exciting.
It was very good, and I actually had to sort of take a few days and not read anything after I read that because I didn't want to taint either the Surface or whatever series I read afterwards with like this isn't as good or the like you know whatever yeah. thoughts that I was that I had. But the art by Langdon Foss is extremely good, especially with the kind of like having to I guess sort of work with the sort of grand ideas that Alice Kot puts into the story and changing the way that the story changes viewpoint and that and how it addresses different things, especially when perspective changes, the little moments in between, like it's sort of how they have ad breaks in like Marvel or DC books. There mm-hmm. are these pages in the mm-hmm. middle of the Surface where it's sort of like an ad page, but it's an ad for the Surface and all of the text on it relates to the story, and it's perfect. It just like I just read it. I can't describe it without like spoiling anything else. But the art by Langdon Foss, the coloring by Jordi Belair, just makes for a super good series. Highly recommend it to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great book. Did you read anything else that you just want to list off?
Sounds like yeah. nothing else.
I read after no, that. No. I read Captain Marvel number one, which I really liked. I honestly didn't read, didn't finish the Captain Marvel series before the renumbering, so I can't really speak to the differences between the two creative teams. But I like the direction that the new series it seems to be going. I read Miss Marvel. It's just Marvel. Miss Marvel number 3, which is the continuation of the new arc of Miss Marvel, which is following Secret Wars, and that's really continuing to be good. It's definitely not getting worse. And I mean, not that it needs to get any better, but it's very fun. I also read The Omega Men number 8, which I sort of read that following my read of The Surface, and The Omega Men is just it got real sad. At issue 8, and
I haven't read 8 yet.
Have you? Okay, I was gonna say.
No,
I was gonna
A small miracle. Christmas came early. I couldn't find 6 for the longest time.
Oh, okay.
And normally we don't name comic book shop names on this podcast for the most part, but I want to personally thank Vault of Midnight for out of nowhere landing a copy of number 6 on their shelf. Saved my bacon because otherwise I was gonna be one of those people that like someone's like, oh, I really want to read the Omega Man, and they're like read 1 through 5 and they're like, what now? And then I put the computer in front of them and they're like, everything has changed,
everything.
I'm not putting up with this shit.
But that series also is like a breath of fresh air from all of the like overarching DC overarching Marvel Universe stuff, where it just it's a very, very nice break from all of the universe covering stories to tell this, again, really sort of personal story about these characters. Maybe that's just where I am with comics right now.
Yeah.
Because that's
Has that always been a William James quote at the end? I feel like it's always been William James, which I think is interesting.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I just know that I just love that how it's bookended with the quote and the way that it opens with like the Marvel, the Marvel or not Marvel, sorry, like the movie, the M's mixing up M words, N words, the sort of movie opening with like, you know, DC Comics presents and, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. having the like title cards as panels in the comic. I think that's really a nice stylistic touch, and ending it with that always applicable quote at the end is always cool.
It's always neat to sort of just grab the quote and then really try to like parse it and you know figure out exactly what he's trying to say about
how it relates to the story issue or just like where, look into it deeper.
Yeah. It's it's amazing how long like so many lesser books would not be able to pull off withholding like the big question or the big reveal for this long when you stop and think about it. Like, there was a core question. There's a core question in this series, and it has persisted since issue one. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you do not run around to issue six or seven with the sort of patience or tolerance that says, you know what, this is fine. We still haven't resolved it.
But when this series, because the series is like exploring other things other than that main, like the question that it's asking. So it's interesting enough and constantly, asking more questions, giving you different answers about, like, you know, questions from, you know, three issues previous, and showing you more and more of this world and basically revealing more and more of these characters to the extent where you don't even really care that they're not giving you the answer to the big question. It's right. It's sort of like they're feeding you all of this information, and the answers will come in time.
Yeah. Wow. I do wonder if they're going to split this between trades, or if they are honestly just going to wait until they can put the whole thing as a single trade. Because
I'll buy it in a single trade.
Yeah.
I do it either way.
I can't recommend this book enough, and reading it as a whole trade, like, this is one of those books that I think has the remarkable ability of probably reading really, really well as a trade, but it's also managed to pace things wonderfully enough. I guess what I should say is it was clearly planned as sort of a big trade, you know, being 12 issues. But the way that they've segmented the story, I think they've done a fantastic job, where we've obviously seen other examples where graphic novels have been artificially split into single issues, and it's like, you just had to pick arbitrary points, didn't you? And these ones aren't that great.
Right. But what about you, Nick? What have you read?
Got through a couple things this week. I think by far the weirdest thing I read was, while everyone was fawning over that Humble Bundle for Image, I was like, I'm going to be contrarian because
my name's Nick White.
Because my name's Nick White, and I'm using that telegraph machine for when the Cylons come. And if everything else got cut out, so that has no context, that's great. That's fine. We'll just leave it. So I read Captain Canuck 0-2.
I am still baffled by that. Baffled. I've seen that book so many times. I don't understand what it is or why it exists. Please tell me. Tell me it's good.
Yeah, it's different. Regrettably, I can't remember the main team on the book, which is kind of embarrassing. I think by far the bigger names are in the B stories, which is Ed Brisson, who did, what was it called, Shelter or Sheltered? One of the two.
Sheltered.
Amongst other things, with Marcus Toe on art. And each issue is divided into two stories, which, let me see if I'm remembering this correctly. There's actually been multiple Captain Canucks, and one of them is sort of like traveling through time at this point, and he was the original Captain Canuck, and he's in the B stories. And then the new Captain Canuck is obviously not traveling through time, but it's very, like, this comic is definitely made, sometimes it feels with a heavy hand towards, like, this needs to be, like, Canadian. So, yes, there is a person from Quebec, regrettably, and now we're going to lose those listeners.
Whoa.
And
what?
I'm just kidding.
What is your hatred for Quebec? Hold on a second.
What?
Why? What's the problem with Quebec?
You know, just like French Canadian,
and we're in Michigan, so like the it's really a genetic thing.
I see.
It's like I don't know.
It's
how
like
that works.
Pick a language, you know, between English and French. You know,
oh, come
just,
on,
just pick one. I'm just kidding. I'm sure they're perfectly nice people. That being said, yeah, like I said, there's people from Quebec in it. There is a sizable amount of French in the comic itself, and. Mm-hmm. Just to be contrarian again, I love it when they just decide to not translate that stuff, and either you know it or you don't, and that's fine, provided it's not the entire comic. And, you know, he's got the usual powers. There aren't any powers that are, like, really out there. Yeah, it's like super strength, super durable, enhanced agility, et cetera, but it's very much, like I said, geared towards being a Canadian comic that takes place in places in Canada and has Canadian political concerns here and there, and it's fun, it's interesting. I'll report back when I have more to go on, but it's weird. Like, the main villain is this guy called, like, Mr. Gold, and he attacks people with
Gold?
Gold. It's weird. I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. Okay.
Beyond that, I read Dr. Fate 7, which finished the first arc of Dr. Fate. I feel like I needed to brush up on my Egyptian mythology before reading that one, but still beautiful artwork nonetheless, despite how maybe I didn't understand all of it. But by far, like, the biggest thing for me was Batman 48, mm-hmm. which, gosh, Paul, is this, like, issue?
Don't you spoil it. Don't, you can't spoil this one, all right? Yeah, you're not gonna spoil it.
Okay. This is, what, like, issue 8 of this arc now?
Yeah, I feel like issue 41, was the first,
Yeah. And, again, not to spoil anything, but,
Nick,
I don't know if I really liked this issue as much, Paul. I don't know about you. I felt like it was more of a, like, putting the chess pieces in the right positions to lead up to the ending. Like, I mean, it was a very talky issue for starters.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, the issue was largely made up of two big conversations, one between Bruce and the other guy that we still aren't certain who he is.
Right.
And then Mr. Bloom's...
But we know who he is. Yeah.
Well, are we like 100%? Like, are we certain we aren't actually...
Oh my
goodness. One's pulling our chain?
I never read Batman because you guys have just told me everything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what spoiled.
Plus, I'm one of those Batman readers that I read it in trade like months and months after it comes out. Yeah.
I think we're tiptoeing adequately right now.
We revealed that much.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain who I think. I'm certain that that character is who I think it is, but.
I'm 90%. I'm like 90%.
Okay.
But obviously, you can tell, and I think you'll agree with me, they're not willing to 100% commit to spelling that out yet.
Right, right. Issue 50. The issue 50 is when it's all going to come together. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Greg Capullo even said something about that on Twitter. I think it, you know, it's sort of a joke within like deep, you know, readership of Batman, that, like, that community. But he like very pointedly said something about issue 50.
Right. So, it kind of has to be the mm-hmm. conclusion to the story. Yeah. Yeah.
But you get an interesting big speech from Bloom, which I think that was really well written. Like Snyder's like handling of that was, I really loved it. And it was an interesting speech, and it kind of makes you wonder, quote unquote, who the bad guy is here.
Yeah.
And but that last page, like the build up to that final page, and you just see it and like the chills go down your spine and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, definitely. I when I came back and started reading comics again regularly, it's right when Grant Morrison was like writing Batman. So like I that's my bread and butter. That's my heroine. You know, that's like big Batman moments like that. So like that last page Greg Capullo's art is so good, and that last page is just like just hit me just like a it's like a shot to the gut. Like, yes, this is what I read Batman for, is moments like that. So I loved
it. Like the faces in that panel were just perfect. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Great, great issue. Not the best of this arc, but it was more about like doing the heavy lifting, I think.
Yeah, just to get build up to that final moment. So
yeah. It'll be interesting to see how next month goes with Yannick Paquette's issue.
I like Yannick Paquette. I think he does a good job. Like, I like the Batman stuff he did with Grant Morrison, so it's no problem for me. Yeah.
His Batman Inc. was good. His Swamp Thing was perfectly fine. I have no problem with him being on it. I just think it's going to be very interesting to see what Scott Snyder has him writing, because obviously I don't think they're going to have him. I don't think it's going to be a direct contribution to Super Heavy. In fact, I think I even read somewhere that it's going to be more origins based in some way.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll
Makes
see.
Sense.
I mean, we both saw that weird batsuit picture that they put out.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, if you aren't reading Batman, it's still good. Paul and I still love it. Probably talk about it for too long. And if anyone's ever like, you know what, we really wish you would stop spoiling Batman, there is a very easy solution to that. And it involves your library or your local comic book store.
Exactly. Just
or
buy and
lending. Or, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Just. Yep, just do that. Easy, done.
Yeah.
Well, what I read this week, I will go through quickly because it was a lot. But I started Transformers More Than Meets the Eye Volume 1 because I bought that trade a while back when there was a Transformers sale.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about Transformers, and I have to keep reading because I started it. I got an issue in, and I was like, I had to like decompress afterwards because there was so much new stuff that I was coming across, and all of the characters look like elves, but they're robots.
Okay. What?
Yeah, I can't explain it to you. You have to. I will screen cap you guys like a panel out of this page where they zoom in on like Bumblebee and someone else's face, and I was like, these look like characters out of the Little Nemo book that I read that Gabriel Rodriguez like did the art on, but they're Transformers. It's bizarre.
Weird. Maybe I'll just watch Transformers 4 instead.
No, Nick, don't. The other thing I read was Rick and Morty 5 through 7, and I think Rick and Morty 6 had the funniest joke I've ever read in a comic book or seen on that show ever. I'm not going to spoil it because it's the funniest thing that has to do with water noodles. I loved it. and Nick, I think you read that book, so maybe you know what I'm talking about. But
is that the weird issue where actually the whole thing is spent inside of one of their TV shows they like watching?
No, this is the issue where Morty is at summer camp. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I also read Ringside 2 and 3, and as I was saying to Paul before the show started, I'm actually kind of disappointed that it's not more, this series isn't more about wrestling. But I'm still on the hook for this first arc. I'm interested enough to see this first arc through. So that's been good.
Same here.
So this book, in some weird way, like the whole like what was supposed to make it different or like give you a different angle was obviously like the business side and the marketing side and all of that. And you guys are worried that maybe they're leaning a little too heavy on that, almost too much.
No, because there's not enough of that because it focuses on one particular character in his personal life. Like when they have like the moments in the story that are about the actual wrestlers backstage talking about their business and stuff and their day-to-day lives, like, okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
The overall story about the main character is not as interesting to me. So I'm hoping, like you said, this first arc just might be setting all that up and then it'll shift to a different character, you know, as it goes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I want there to be a really good book about wrestling, obviously. I want there to be
Paul, I want to support it. And I'm trying out this book because it's something that's out of my wheelhouse, but the more I read about this, the more I read of the story, it just feels like another action drama, I guess, if that makes any sense. Yeah. And, I do really enjoy the behind-the-scenes stuff they show, but there needs to be more of it. That's all.
More of it. Yep, definitely.
But the two big things that I read were this past week were like these independent books that I've just been sitting on. Well, one of them came out this week, and I really liked the cover, so I bought it without even looking at it because, you know, why not? I was for $2, I'll try a Comixology Submit book. It's called Street Tiger, and the premise that they describe on Comixology isn't that great, but the opening that the author, who is also the artist, Ertito Montana, he basically says, what if Quentin Tarantino did a kung fu action story with guns?
Sure.
And I was like, wait a second, wasn't that Kill Bill?
Wasn't that Kill Bill?
But it's a bit different. It's a very heavy, hardcore, action-packed, violent book about a guy who's just trying to protect his neighborhood. And I dig it. The art is really, really rough, but you can kind of look past that when you read the story. So it's pretty good. And the final thing that I read was The Killer Number One, which is a book by Boom, I think.
I think it's Archaic.
Or Archaea, I'm sorry. And
however you say that.
Yeah. And it's about a guy who kills people for money. They're the same company now, so. And I didn't think that I would feel sympathy for someone who was a hired gun. And I read it, got halfway through the first issue, and I was like, oh, I kind of feel bad for this guy. No, wait, this dude's an awful, degenerate human being. All he does is care about money. So I'm really intrigued by this book. And it's been out for a long while. But I got the first issue for free, and I figured maybe I might just read through the rest of this series. It's done by a writer named Matz, M-A-T-Z, and the art is by Luke Jackamon. It's a really cool book. It's about hired guns and people killing people for money. if that tickles your fancy.
Comics really ought to explore that topic more.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very new. But moving on, you know, what are you guys excited for this week? I've got a couple books. Paul and I have the same book this week, but Nick and Xander, what are you guys interested in?
Well, I think it's a small week for virtually everybody for the most part.
Yeah, I only got three books on my poll this week.
I mean, I was actually talking with Kate about it briefly, and she's like, it's not a small week for me. And I was like, well, I think it is for everyone else.
So are you guys reading?
Yeah. She's like, you guys just aren't reading the good stuff. I was like, probably. Yeah. And then I was like, and that would include Green Arrow. So this week's pick for me is Green Arrow 49. I am really, really excited for this book. I still haven't gotten the, I guess what you would call consumer confidence to pull it. It's more of a every week, it's Green Arrow. Like, you're gonna find a copy somewhere, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You're just going to get it. And I really enjoy what this team of Ben Percy, who probably in terms of comics is really just best known for doing a 2-issue small arc of Detective Comics, I think last year, with Jean-Paul Leon, who, I mean, he's amazing as well, but whatever. So you got Ben Percy, and then you have Patrick Zurcher on art, who, he's not my favorite, but he does a perfectly fine job with everything. And they've done a really good job of basically showing up after the team who did the show Arrow were like, yo, we're going to take over this book, and we're going to bring in Felicity Smoke out of nowhere for virtually no reason. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness Jeff Lemire brought in Diggle at the end, because we're going to make a big deal out of Diggle and also a lot of other things that exist within the show. And these guys have sort of had the challenge of showing up after them, and I was really worried because I thought they were going to try to reinforce some of that stuff, or that DC, you know, from up on high was going to be like, we know Arrow is really popular, and we know Arrow already has its own comic, but like, we don't care. you better make this more like that. But they came in and they basically took away all of that stuff, much like Lemire did when he showed up. And they actually went so far as to honor some of Lemire's concepts, like the idea of the outsiders. And they actually really closed the book and really honed in on Ollie himself again, and not, you know, didn't try to build a huge team around him once more. So we've had him running around in Mexico going after cartels because of this idea that, like, bones, ancient bones hold power. And, what? Like... his dog, which he, yeah, man, and like his dog that he recently got, which is also like part wolf, is also like has these weird looking eyes, and it's also part wolf because it's part of this ancient lineage where his bones have power too. Oh, and my these gosh. Guys that look like skeletons are breaking into museums and stealing bones. Like, it's great. I mean, doesn't that sound great? It sounds great to me.
Slow it down, so. Jack Skellington.
Yeah. It's weird, it's bizarre, it's very focused again and not dealing with Arrow, so I love it, and I think it's one of the better books DC has really seen make a 180 recently, and yet no one really seems to know about it, unfortunately.
Hmm.
What about you, Xander?
Oh, I guess because I only have the one book on my pull list next week, and that's Captain Marvel number 2. Like I said, I read number 1 this past week. I know it didn't come out this past week, but that was when I picked it up, and that was when I read it.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. And, I'm not going to hold you on anything on that. Jeez. I love how it's super defensive.
I just feel like hold on, guys. Like, let me qualify this. No,
just I qualify comic books.
That's mostly, I feel like I have to qualify it to myself because it's one of those Marvel books that's like, you know, it's a lot. It feels like a lot more money. It's not, you know, one of my $2.99 Image books or whatever. So
it better be worth it.
Yeah.
It part of me feels like, even though it's not really that much more, like in the grand scheme of things, I'm like, I feel like I deserve more out of this book because I'm paying more, which is, I don't know, maybe that's silly.
You heard that, Marvel. Xander Riggs expects more.
Give me more. It needs to be all new and all different. but I do like the direction that this, at least the first issue, made it look like this new series was going in, or this rather, this new renumbering of the character. I mean, I'm on board for the first I think arc, however long that's going to be. I think usually it's somewhere between 4 and 6 issues. So mm-hmm. I'll hop on for the first arc and then find out where it goes from there. Right now it's like space adventures, which Ooh, I'm
that's exciting.
Super okay with. It's like, I mean, to be fair, it's like space adventures so far. It's space adventures right outside of Earth's atmosphere. So it's not like it's super far out there.
Uh-huh. So Xander's now qualifying space adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
let's just be clear.
Let me define it as adventures in space.
Yeah. But this first issue, does that, if I'm recalling correctly, this features Abigail Brand in it, right?
In a very, very slight way. She's okay. One of the supporting characters for that
I love her, though. Issue. I love
she's,
her.
She's really cool, mostly because she shows up and she's either like a jerk or... No, she's always a jerk. I feel like she's not...
Yeah. She's never like Marvel person here.
In the same way that Maria Hill is the director of
Shield.
Shield. Abigail Brand is the director of Sword, which is like the space version of Shield.
Yeah, they make sure that any extracurricular
extracurricular activities, guys. So not Sword, on this planet.
Sword makes sure that any extraterrestrial invaders or potential weirdos out there in space don't mess with Earth.
Right. And if there's an asteroid headed for the planet, you know, you fight them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fight the asteroid. Yeah. Or you fight aliens, whatever.
Both.
Yeah, it's essentially both? Green Lantern Corps. Yeah. That kind of thing. So, yeah, that's my pick.
Cool.
What about you, Paul? Or rather, both of you guys, because you guys have the same
Mike
pick.
And I have the same pick. So
Paul and I picked the same thing, which is Paper Girls number 5. Paul, what are you excited for about this book? You can go ahead and go first.
Well, it's a small week for me as well. So this is I'm pulling this and Action Comics number 49, and I'm more excited for this book. So that's why it's my pick. Paper Girls is so far removed from the book I thought it was going to be that I'm just fascinated by it, you know.
Yes,
first issue was just this great sort of 80s, you know, teenage adventure, very Steven Spielberg-esque kind of story, and now it's like time travel, aliens, alternate futures. Just it reminds me of the first, you know, few issues of Saga, where it's just like everything's just so new and fresh and different, you didn't know what to expect issue to issue, you know. Mm-hmm. That changed for me with Saga, where it became very predictable, but I hope that doesn't happen with this book. This book, every issue, there's some twist or some reveal or something that happens that I never would have guessed would have fit the story so far, and just, I love that surprise. Cliff Chang's art is just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a major selling point.
Yeah, just a tremendous book. It just, every issue kind of feels unique and special.
Yes, okay. You pretty much took the words out of my mouth. I don't think that I've been so surprised by a book every single issue. Like, maybe arc to arc, you go, wow, I can't believe the story took that twist after building so far. But this book, every single issue is like that. It's almost like you become numb to the idea that anything could be real or that anything is predictable, and you might as well just give up trying to predict it. And that's almost refreshing in a way, where you don't have to go, well, I know how this is going to end. And instead, you're just blown away by the weird left turn that this book has seemed to take, and somehow you haven't gone in a circle yet. As weird as that metaphor is, right? This book is phenomenal. That's all I can say about it. And we say it every month. I think someone picks it every month, and there's no reason not to at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does. It's a book that it doesn't feel sort of retro, even though the fact it's set in the 80s is a big selling point, but it kind of has that sort of that feel to it, where just like this, everything's kind of unexpected and new. It's almost like you're reading it through the eyes of the characters, if that makes sense. It's like they're in this situation that they cannot make any sense out of, and at the same time, you, the reader, are right along with them. You know, you don't have this narration telling you the larger story. Everything that's happening in the story to the characters is just as new and fresh and sort of scary and terrifying to you, the reader, at the same time.
Right. Right.
And even having, like, say, for example, some knowledge of the 80s or what happens in the 80s or trends or any of that, like, none of that really matters, is that what you're saying? Like, you can't use that as a predictive sort of tool.
No. Yeah.
Or a contextual tool.
It's funny that, you know, the topic of the 80s as the, like, setting for this book makes things, like, even better in my mind, because the limitations of the 80s versus now, you know, where there isn't cell phones. In order to get a hold of someone, you have to use someone's actual house phone or a payphone.
Right.
These elements exist very heavily throughout the book, but they aren't, like, they aren't relied upon. They aren't, like, pointed out.
It's not like the crutch for plot points.
Yes, thank
you. If only they had a cell phone. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's always going to come to mind, but they don't. It's not in your face, I guess. It's not as obvious. You seem to understand the limitations the same way that the characters do. It's not a, oh man, if only the payphone, you know, was in my pocket. They don't say anything like that.
If only someone had invented a small phone that would be in your pocket.
Yeah.
Be mobile.
Yeah.
That would be convenient.
This book is great.
Yeah, I mean, it just adds to the unknown quality of it, because there's like there's no context for what they're experiencing. You know what I mean? There's no like television. There's no like, I mean, there is television in the 80s, obviously, but I mean, the cable's been taken out. There's no communication. It's just like oh, there's not this sort of wealth of knowledge I can access with my phone. I can't go online and find what's going on.
Yeah.
There's not this constant media, 24-hour news channels going on. It's
Wikipedia.
Like, yeah, it's it's everything is you have to deal with it right at the moment. So I don't know. I really love this book.
So this week's episode is kind of special. As I said at the opening of the show, this is our 1 year anniversary of doing this podcast for a whole year. Even though we're on episode 56, this is technically the 52nd episode or something. Basically, long and short of it is, if you went back and you listened to episodes 1 through 3, I feel so bad for you because I was just ranting like an idiot. And one time I had my friend Renee on, and Renee is amazing, and we talked about Invincible. But at the end of the day, I did the podcast and I gave up on it. And a good friend of mine, George Benson, I don't know, he and I went out for drinks one night and we were chatting. And he said, man, you guys really got to do a podcast on Destroy the Cyborg. You really got to do one. You know, we talk about comics a bunch. You know, everybody talks about comic books basically, you know, between all of the writers for our website. And it's like, let's just do a podcast. We need to do it. And then finally, I said, okay, let's do it. And January 20th. 2015, we sat down and did an episode and got it edited and put out, and I recruited Xander to do the audio editing, and it was, I think, was it me and you, Nick, who did that first episode?
Probably.
We didn't do I didn't research
any of this.
We don't know what day it was. Look, last year, about this time, we did a podcast.
Yeah. And it came out, and we did it, and then I was very determined to make sure that we had an episode every single week, every week, no matter what, even though we went to comic book conventions, even though we missed days or I didn't feel like doing the show and we record on a Monday night and it was awful. We were for Xander specifically to do the editing and we record for too long and our microphone situation was terrible. It was a whole ordeal. And nonetheless, we did it. We managed to put out a whole year's worth of episodes, I think, and we didn't miss a single week.
Well, we missed 1 week. There was 1 week we missed.
We missed 1 week?
Yeah, 1 week. That was it. So it's like we took a break for 1 week. Okay. Is that not okay? Is that not okay?
I was in my head. I had it. Like, I had it set that we didn't. So either way, we've been doing this podcast for a year.
We got to start over.
Even on weeks where we took off, you know, we did try to fill in with shorter episodes, with mini episodes. We talked about the idea of doing mini episodes at one point, and then one day I invited a bunch of people over to my house and at the house that I was living at, and we recorded like 20 to 30 minute episodes on the fly with no planning. I was like, hey, everybody, come over and let's record podcast episodes. And
it was
people
like
showed
you
up.
And you come over to the table.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah. So we had 8 people sitting in my basement, and I was just like, all right, the two of you come over here. We're going to talk about something. And it was me with 2 people. And I don't think all of those made it to air. I think we used 2 of them.
I think a couple of them did.
One of them was with Tommy Valdez, which was probably the greatest mini-sode that we did that day. I'm sorry to everyone else, but Tommy totally knocked that one out of the park.
Well, he came prepared. He had note cards, if
you
remember.
Yeah, well, he had been... I had told him about doing the episode, or that we were doing it that day, and he came by, or he had been texting me all day. He's like, hey, I might come over. Hey, I might come over. Hey, I might come over. And I was like, dude, just get in your car and drive down the street, because he didn't live that far from us. Because at the time, I was living with Xander. And he came over and he just came downstairs, recorded. I was like, thanks, Tommy. And everyone like clapped because we were all so impressed. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to go. And then he walked out. Like,
he left.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
Yeah.
That was also sort of, you know, that was the early days.
Some of us
had
to follow him.
Yeah.
The rest of us did.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the early days of the podcast where we had our microphones like in the middle of the table and like they were not the quality microphones that we have now.
I still had this Yeti.
I had this Yeti.
You
it
did.
Was good.
You did.
But you know,
let's be clear.
But if you go back,
I
and you listen
fine.
To those
it was
episodes,
everyone else.
when you compare those episodes to what we produce now, I think, you know, like, we've grown a lot in terms of not like in terms of a podcasting quality, not only of audio quality, but I think that the podcast has really been a space for all of us to talk about what we like and made us sort of think about what we like a little bit more, find the words to describe the things that we love so that we can talk about it with other people. And I think that that in itself was sort of what the podcast was always about.
Yeah, that was always the intention for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like the form of it has changed.
Well, yeah, we don't just sit down and take whatever is popular news articles and talk about it, which we used to do.
I mean, we've never done that.
And Nick, I have to commend you on the many, many weeks where you would show up with like 15 news articles, and I would go, we're only talking about one, Nick, and I'm not talking about Grumpy Cat.
Maybe like two, and we're not even certain that any of the ones you brought are the ones we want to use.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. It would be like, I would come to the episode with a topic already in mind, and I'm like, this is what we're talking about, and then Nick would have like 12 articles, and I would go, sorry, Nick, we're actually talking about this thing that I didn't tell you about, because I was such a dick. Man. But it was, I mean, we always ended up making a quality show. It's just, Nick put in so much work, so I hope everyone out there recognizes Nick's work. Yeah, I mean, Xander, you do a good job, but Nick has worked harder, I think.
Oh, for sure, right?
Xander, your work has actively contributed to a goal.
You get a participant award, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. I got those in basketball, thanks. I know what those are about.
I know
what
they are. So now that we're, you know, like 8 minutes into this, whatever, this is what this episode I wanted to be, is talking about the show. So it's going to get really meta, and we're going to talk about all the weird inside jokes and stuff. And if you don't get it, I'm very, very sorry. Next
if
week,
if you don't
we'll be
like
back.
It, stop listening.
We will be right back next week with a better, more on-topic show. But if you've been listening for a long time, maybe you will laugh with us and stuff like that.
And at us.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least at us, at the very least. Yeah.
At least, hopefully.
That will happen.
So I don't know. Man. There was, I've just been trying to like rack my brain thinking about all the goofy shit that we've done in this show to try to make it come out on time and to make it like appear like we know what the hell we're doing. And like I have this distinct memory of George Benson came over and we were supposed to record an episode, and it was such a hassle for us to like make our schedules work. And I was like, finally, we managed to make it work.
Oh man.
And he came over and we sat down and we did a really, really pretty good episode.
It was a good episode. I remember the content.
And so George sits down with a computer.
I suggested Manifest Destiny wasn't as good anymore.
Yeah. Nick remembers, see?
Yeah.
So we sat down to record and I put my microphone in between the two of us, and I had been talking to Xander because it was a really complicated setup. It was like, how are we going to record two people in the same room when normally we'd be recording over the internet? Because even at the time when I was living in Michigan, Nick was in Grand Haven and I was in Grand Rapids. And so we couldn't record, you know, side by side. So we'd record over the internet.
Right.
And we didn't have a good setup for two people in the same room. So I told George to come down and we'd record off of the same mic. And then we decided we weren't going to do that, and we were going to record off of his computer using one mic on his iPhone headphones, and I was going to record off of my microphone, and we just hoped that it would work and hope that Xander would be able to edit it
and
together.
And even in going over these details again right now, we know this has a 100% chance of being fucked up.
Absolutely awful.
100%
so
failure rate.
We sit down to record, and we each had a beer, we were just hanging out, and I was like, okay, I'm going to hit record, and let's do this. And we get 50 minutes into recording of an actual episode before I realize...
Good conversation and everything.
Yeah, with good conversation, good everything, before I realize I never told George to record on his computer. Like, we had been having this discussion, and it was really, really good, and George had no audio on his computer. So through the mighty will of Xander, the godlike man who he is, he managed to pull the audio out of my microphone of George speaking very, very quietly. If you go back to this episode, you'll hear George is very, very quiet, but he managed to pull it out and actually make a coherent episode out of it. But it was like we had finished the majority of the show before I realized that, and I remember texting Xander, oh my God, I didn't get any audio for George. And we were like, I was determined. I was like, we have to have an episode come out, but this episode is so fucked up. What are we going to do? And somehow it
just
worked.
Just make it.
Somehow we just did it.
And that's part of the, like, in some ways, it's like part of the creative process where, like, you make stuff and you keep making stuff, and you get better at it by doing it more and more often, but like mm-hmm. you're gonna make some terrible things at the beginning.
Yeah.
And
well, this,
and
to this date, this is why I still do the thing. Okay, is everyone recording? Okay, yeah, everyone hit record right yeah. now. Mm-hmm. Like, I make sure to tell everyone to hit the record button, and
yeah,
I have to be certain that we're actually getting every audio week. From everyone.
Nick, is Audacity open?
Yeah.
Is it open yet? Is it open yet? Why the fuck isn't it open?
Yeah. but you know, since then, like you said, we learn, we make, you know, mistakes, but we learn from them, and now we have a pretty cool show as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
We're going to pat ourselves on the back a lot, people, so I hope you're ready for that.
Well, you know, I got to say that I've enjoyed doing the show, and I've really enjoyed listening to episodes that I'm not on, because it offers me a different perspective on the topic of loving comic books and reading comic books, you know?
Yeah.
Being able to do this every week, and honestly, I would just enjoy bullshitting about comics with you guys anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The fact that we can record it and like people enjoy it, that's like just icing on the cake, really. But as someone that grew up reading comics and became a comic book fan because I already loved superheroes, to actually talk to people who started reading comics when they were older, teenagers and in college, it's such a different like mind frame and, you know, set of expectations, and what you want from comics, what you find interesting in comics is so different from my personal experience. It's really interesting to hear that and think like, well, you know, I remember when Image Comics was founded.
Yeah.
And the only things they published were Spawn and books by Rob Liefeld. So to hear people that are like, they only read Image comics, you know, it's like, well, that's, imagine how radically the art form and the industry has changed in the 20 years or so that I've been pretty much a comic book fan and reading, even more than 20 years, I guess, but paying attention to it. It's really fascinating to hear people that are just getting into comics like, hey, this is a safe place that everyone can enjoy. There's books for everybody. Obviously, there's more work to be done on that. That's a different topic, but
yeah, yeah.
The fact that it's so vibrant and you have so many people, so many different opinions and different types of books that they enjoy, it actually is very enjoyable to hear that firsthand from people on the show like this. So
yeah, man, you're telling
that's
me.
That's what I enjoy.
I love not being on the show sometimes just to hear the other people talk and not have to worry. I don't know. Like it's rare that I'm not on the show, so when I'm not on it, it's like a treat that I get to hear these people who I talk to all the time, like discuss things that I would have probably never known, you know, outside of Nick always saying, well, Sandman Overture did come out late. And I knew that he was going to say that. But other than that,
well, it took 2 years to release 6 issues. I still want to point out, I have not read number 6.
All right, someone update the board.
I don't even know what happens.
I think we've gone 0 days since Nick has brought up Sandman.
Yeah,
I realized I did prompt him, but still.
And that's what's kind of fun, too. I mean, obviously, listening to the show and knowing the people on it sort of personally, when I hear someone, like, say, for example, Mike, say that he doesn't like Superman, it drives me nuts. I'm like, why wouldn't you like Superman, Mike? You have to like Superman. I'm going to make you like Superman, so.
Yeah. Here's what I suggest you read of Superman.
Yeah. You know, exactly. And that, okay, that right there, though, is probably one of the coolest parts of this show. Is the fact that I talk to the other people on the show pretty often, and it still surprises me to this day when someone gives me a recommendation that I never would have expected from them. Like, not to say that I wouldn't expect you to read, you know, Grant Morrison's JLA, Paul, but for you to come and say, Mike, you should read this, like, that's awesome, because I didn't even, like, know that Grant Morrison wrote JLA for that long, you know? Or for me to say, I don't like Superman, you're like, well, here, let me change your mind. And that's awesome, because, I get that from Kate, Tia, Brian, John, Xander, like, Nick, you guys all do that. That's super awesome. And the handful of people that I've actually talked to about this show have gotten a lot of recommendations from us. Paul, I can safely say that you have also convinced at least 3 other people to try Transformers vs. G.I. Joe because of this show.
Yes, yes. My job is done. My mission is
completed. Effectively doubling the readership, just kidding. <Yeah. trying.
laughs> I mean, that's something I do want to point out, is like, that was great because, you know, talking to you guys week to week, I knew I could say, like, hey, there's this book that I really enjoy. Here's why I enjoy it. It might not be your cup of tea, but I think you could at least appreciate it. So when I did talk, or strong arm, I guess, Mike and Nick into reading Transformers versus G.I. Joes, and to have their opinions, I mean, I knew they would like it, but hearing why you liked it and having it be a little different from my enjoyment of the book, it was very enjoyable to kind of have that shared experience on the podcast and record it and talk about it that way. I that's one of my favorite episodes we've done, just us just focusing on that book and breaking it down. Yeah. And you know, so that was great.
And I think that's very much what sort of like comic book community is all about, is all these people that have read different stories and you're all sort of brought together by a shared experience of reading this book.
Yeah.
And maybe you like it for different reasons, or maybe you all come together over one, like one singular reason that you like this book, but it gives everybody who's read it a chance to talk about it and say, this is why I like it. And it's sort of like, it's like a bonding experience almost, which like in terms of bringing more people in to like the comic book readership, that's, I feel like that's essential to say that, like, right. You can read this book and I can read this book, and it doesn't matter necessarily how long you've been reading comics, but you can both say you've read this book and you've both had this experience, and then you can like grow through conversation of that book.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Which is something I think we really try to strive for on this show. Like, I don't think we've ever had an episode where someone was so staunchly disagreed with somebody that they were like, well, fuck this, I'm not doing the show anymore. Because, like, not to say that we don't differ in opinions, because I think there is a lot of head nodding sometimes on this show, but that's because we all just like the same books in a lot of ways. But
yeah,
we also have, like, even if we do have disagreements about something, it's never like, well, fuck you, man. I don't care. I don't like Preacher. Like, it's not like that. It's, okay, well, I don't like Preacher because of this. And then there's a conversation that comes out of it. And maybe even...
Well, I mean, that stuff never makes it to the final cut.
Yeah.
Xander cuts out
all
the
negativity. You really want to hear what it's like before Xander edits it out. It gets really bad.
It gets real heated.
No.
I'm just
awful.
Kidding.
Yeah. Well, there have been... I mean, I feel like there's a couple of rants that have gotten cut out on my part and maybe Nick's part as well. But that's... these are... There was the whole thing that we did about the cover of Batgirl that they did with the Joker, and we talked about that, and then we decided just to not use the segment because it was so gray and weird that it was like, didn't want to put it out there because I don't know, I personally didn't feel as confident about it after I re-listened to it. But you know,
the Albuquerque cover.
So, I mean,
for Joker Month or whatever.
And
was.
Now I'm trying to like go through all of the crazy weird stuff that we've cut out of the show, but there's a
most
lot.
Most of the time when it gets cut out, you sort of we forget that we talked about it almost.
Yeah. There's an archive out there somewhere of the raw audio.
It's almost as if we never had the conversation at all.
Well, the original idea for the annual was I was talking to Xander and I was like, what if you just grabbed a bunch of random shit from all the episodes that you've done and just
like
made that into
a clip show.
Yeah, like a clip show.
I feel like I guess that would have been like more like editing work on my part.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't understand in terms of like audio editing. I'm not at a stage where I understand how like an audio clip show would work.
Yeah, there's no good
especially,
way to do it.
Especially when like the clips, I feel like a lot of the clips aren't necessarily clips in the same sense, because they're long conversations that span 5 to 10 to 20 minutes. And especially
when you
want to
put on a 6-hour
like,
show, who cares?
Well, it's like easier said than done. Like at the end of their year, every year, Comedy Bang Bang does their clips show, and it's divided into 4 shows, and each one's like an hour and a half, and it's like their top 15 conversations. So,
oh goodness,
yeah, you're absolutely right. Most of the time, especially if you're like a conversation based podcast and you want to do a show like that, it's like that would be an insane commitment,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And we like you guys here at I Read Comic Books, but like not like. Not to the point that we want Xander, you know, geez. That would be the end, I think, for Xander. That would be
the end for me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, to some extent. Because, I mean, you think about, like, this is a podcast that we put out for free every week. And, like, we don't make money on this. This is just a thing that we make every
week.
Speak
for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a merch section.
Nick sells
well, I know
his
you
likeness.
Got a merch section. Paul gets money from referring people to read.
Tom Skeel always sends him a check every week.
Yeah. Yeah, and Marvel secretly paying me to plug Secret Wars, or at least they did during the summer. So.
Right.
No, so I'm really, the only one, really. Guys. I'm the only one.
Yeah, sorry, we've been holding out on you for a while.
We've been monetizing the show, and you haven't even.
No,
you know, if you got behind the mic a bit more, you know, someone would cut you a deal.
Listen, as editor, I am behind Mike 100%, like in making this show. Just got to say that.
Yeah, which, you know, and that's actually funny you say that, because it's you know, we make a lot of, Xander and I have a lot of conversations about this show to the point where I'm like, I should talk to Xander about the podcast. And then I decide not to send him that instant message and go, hey man, how you doing? What's up with your life? And then he brings up the podcast and I go, oh, okay, it's okay to talk about it.
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up.
No, but we make decisions, you know, we listen to the show, we listen to listener, or we get the little bits of listener feedback that we do get, you know, we take all that into consideration to try to make the better show, which is why you see over 55 episodes over, well, I guess over 54, 52 episodes.
Something, 50-something episodes.
You know, you see an absolute evolution, though, of the show where we've kept a similar structure, but we've also, like, evolved it. We've tried not to do things like, okay, Nick, you have 60 seconds, tell me something, and then he stumbles for an hour.
Remember that?
Good luck. That was the worst thing that I ever thought of in my entire life.
I mean, that was, like, to be fair, I think that was my idea, because we were trying to come up with a way to end the show.
Yeah.
And I felt like it needed to have some sort of wrap, and so we tried that for a few weeks, and then we stopped. Which I'm
glad
for.
Maybe a literal rap would have actually been preferable at that point.
Just, it's a freestyle, though, because it's still like on the spot. Like,
slam poetry right at the end of the show.
I'm not going to read Secret Wars. Oh, wait, I did. Now I'm its mouthpiece. There you go. That's Mike rapping, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
Literally,
you Mike, could tell because it was rapping. Clearly his voice.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we've been trying to make the show, you know, better every episode. Like, even small minor tweaks where I'd say, okay, we have to be really quick about this, guys. We have to, we can't talk for a half hour about Batman or something.
Wait, what?
Nothing at all.
Like, you on, said that on. Got an exemption. You said that was exempt.
That's his trigger word. Don't say that. Don't say Batman.
I know. But, you know, we've been trying to make it better. So I hope that it is better for those of you who are still listening to this episode.
Yeah. and know that when you contact us, we really love it, and we always take your suggestions into consideration.
Yeah. What other fun moments can you guys think of that we've had on this show?
Mostly I just think back to the days when we were recording with one microphone in the basement of that house we were living in.
Yeah.
And that whole process, I think that was, it was very interesting to sort of like have the basement be the set, and the people who were on the show were like coming over to the house, and
I would go pick up Paul and bring him over to the basement.
Like, you guys had like a little like studio, yeah.
Right. And it wasn't even like official in any sense. And I think that was actually, those were the days when audio quality was at its worst for the show.
Well, and for a while we were just recording Nick's audio from Mumble. Like, we use Mumble to talk to people over the internet, and at first we weren't even using, like, I had the microphone, and then I would just record everyone's audio into my computer and then back out to Xander, and it was ridiculous to try to edit, I think. And eventually it was like, okay, well, Paul lives close enough to me, I could go pick him up, and then we could record in the basement, we have two mics now. And then eventually we gave up, and it's like, okay, everyone's getting a mic, we're gonna pay for this out of pocket, and just to up the quality of the show, because we care about it that much, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's made things work for the better. I think the show has gotten a lot easier to manage in that regard. Like, there isn't a weird technical loophole, and on the off chance that Nick's audio doesn't come through or Paul's audio doesn't come through Mumble for a second, we still actually have his audio, you know? And that's been super handy, I think. I mean, we've run into problems where, like, I was recording an episode where my computer just restarted for no reason. And I thought we were seriously like an hour and a half into recording, because we, you know, and it just stopped. And thank God Audacity is the most beautiful program in the world, because when it stopped, it actually we only lost like 5 or 6 seconds of my recording, and we were just able to pick that topic up. As much as my heart stopped, and I think I immediately texted Xander and said, "Uh-oh, my computer just restarted on its own."
And that was my favorite thing, because as long as, like, partly I didn't want to sit in on the episode, because, like, when we were recording the early episodes and it was one mic for two people, if you had another person in the room and that person accidentally, like, bumped something, like, it would create, you know, sound that would get picked up for, and it would be in the podcast unless it was such that you could take it out. So a lot of the time I was just not there. I wasn't present for recording.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, there were these great moments where, like, you would finish recording and you would just come down and you go like, "Oh my God, I think we messed up." or even more recently, like after you moved, and we're doing this all, you know, over the internet now, and you know, you know, I'll get a message the next day or like, you know, late Sunday evening, and you're just like, oh God, there's a horrible thing that happened around this time, like this time code, Mark. But a lot of that stuff, like a lot of the problems, like we've come to cope with, or we found ways to completely get rid of, mm-hmm. and a lot of that's just sort of time in.
Yeah. We're professional podcasters at this point.
but a lot of that is like, you know, when you're recording and you've got your microphone set up, if it's on a desk, if it's on a stand, like depending on how your microphone is set up, like you guys have gotten so good about minimizing the amount of excess noise that shows up that it's made my job easier. It's only taken me a year, but like I've gotten like streamlined my editing process. So like that's getting a lot faster, and
we've all improved at different things. Like we've gotten better at minimizing noise. Xander has gotten so much better at sending me emails that are in all caps. He has gotten so much better at it. Like a lot of them have sentences that used to end in periods. Now they end in exclamation points consistently. They did. And
there was the one. There was the one email that you were a part of. Unless Mike, you've been forwarding your emails
every
to
week.
People.
No.
Well, you know, sometimes I would sort of like ask Mike, I'd be like, huh, I wonder how the podcast went. I'm super subtle. I'm asking you what Xander thought. And then Mike would be like, well, you know, we recorded a podcast. You were on it.
Yeah.
So Xander probably had some thoughts.
Yeah. Well, there's thoughts every week. But I mean, you know, the management doesn't need to send down all the feedback directly. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, definitely.
There's
sometimes
hierarchy.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What did he say? He said, quit fucking up.
I do love the fact that we've stuck with it and made it happen. How many ideas or how many just like times you just have a notion like, oh, this would be fun to do a podcast about, then you never actually do it. So the fact that we've been able to do it every week have new people rotate in, get different perspectives and keep it going, that's been really, really rewarding, you know? And
for sure.
Learning on the job, you know, it kind of inspired me to be like, oh, I can also do another podcast. I won't plug it here.
No, do it. No, Paul, you should, because your show is fucking top notch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, doing this podcast, I Read Comic Books, it kind of made me realize like, oh, you can actually do this. I have a microphone. I have a computer. I have something to say. You can always record and learn how to edit it yourself. So me and another friend, we started a podcast called Spike Pile Driver. It's about professional wrestling. Big surprise.
Yeah.
That's been really fun. I mean, these two podcasts it's been a nice, like I said, learn on the fly kind of thing. I had to learn how to edit Spike Piledrive. I did it all myself. And because of that, I have so much respect for Xander and all he does, because editing audio sucks. It's terrible. It's so tedious.
I was just waiting for the reverse where Paul's like, it's actually really so easy.
I don't know why he's complaining all the time. It's a piece of cake.
We just have like that emperor has no, you know, wears no clothes moment about Xander's job.
Well, I think because I've listened to your podcast a few times, Paul.
Yeah.
And I think I am very impressed with like right after you got your microphone mm-hmm. and started recording stuff on your own. I was incredibly impressed with how quickly you like maximized the quality of your microphone. And then the quality of your podcast, like how quickly you picked that up, and mm-hmm. it's like top notch, I think. Compared to a lot of other podcasts out there, it does form is perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's this podcast, that podcast. I mean, I love comics, I love wrestling. I'll kind of listen to anything as long as somebody that's passionate about something talking about why they're passionate about it. So
yeah.
If that comes through in the conversation, you want to make it sound good as well.
Right.
Like you want to be well represented. So
yeah.
I'm so like, you know, I'm not usually one to use a term like I'm proud or I don't have a lot of pride, but that sounds strange. But I'm proud of these two podcasts. Like they're been wonderful creative outlets. And so being able to do this week to week and it being enjoyable and me not being embarrassed to recommend it and say, hey, you should listen to this thing I do, and getting good feedback from my friends. I've had people like like you said, start reading Transformers versus G.I. Joe or start reading comics. I've also had people say like, oh, I never used to watch wrestling, but now I'm watching it. So that's what comes through. And I'm glad that, that's become the purpose of the podcast has been here. We enjoy this stuff. We're going to tell you why we enjoy it. Maybe it'll rub off on you.
Maybe you'll enjoy it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think like the few episodes that I've listened to of your podcast, like, because I'm not like terribly into wrestling, like it's not a thing that I devote a lot of time to. But when I listen to your podcast, I go, "Oh man!" Part of it's like I don't understand what they're talking about, but then part of it's like I want to learn more it's very clear that you guys are passionate about that, and I think that comes through in this podcast too.
Exactly.
And I think part of that collaborative, I think the idea that this is a very collaborative show. That it's not just one person, it's not just two people. Even if it was just two people, you have that sort of, I don't know, that it's like a driving force, because it's not just you trying to motivate yourself, it's a group and you can motivate each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why the early episodes of this show didn't succeed, because it was just me being mad about comic books. And that's not productive. Instead,
well, that's like it's like our natural state.
Yeah,
like,
constantly mad about comic books, and then I have to be like sociable and be nice, so I have to build up to the anger, and then I realize maybe the anger's not necessary. Except for there's a
maybe
handful
we can
of times.
Just love comics. Yeah,
maybe we do love comics. Right. Yeah. No, I hate them. I hate comic books. I come out of this podcast every week and I go, man, I hate comic books. Or I start it with, God, I hate comic books. I can't tell you how many times I think I've started a show. And we've like recorded it, and I'm talking to Nick and Paul, and I'm just like, God, you guys, you have no idea how mad I am at comic books this week. And then we talk about it, and I'm not actually mad. I just have a lot of thoughts that I need to get out, and this has been the best outlet for it. And I don't have to necessarily bother, everybody else in my life about comic books. Instead, I have the handful of people that are on this show, and it works out really well. I mean, I think we do a pretty good job expressing ourselves. So thumbs up to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still remember, I think one of the more interesting points of this show was sort of counting down the days to the point when we knew that like it was going to be like Mike's first week off.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike's like, on this day, it was either maybe, yeah, like you were traveling somewhere or someone was coming to visit and you're like, on this day, it's not going to be me. It's going to be guys.
Specifically, it's going to be you, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, I think you're kind of maybe in charge. This is really fucked up. Like, if this podcast was going to have a really great chance of absolutely 100%, like, dying, it's gonna be on you, not on me.
That was such a weird, like, dad's leaving the kids at home by themselves for the first time moment, where it wasn't so much that I thought it was gonna be bad, it was just for some reason I felt like my presence was gonna kept people in line. Then I realized, oh wait, I'm actually talking with adults and they know how to speak by themselves. They don't have to worry about them being rude or anything.
Let's be fair. It was not the most smooth of transitions.
But we've managed to cope without me on the show. I don't mean to make it all about me, but I've been on almost every single episode, save three or four, and this show isn't just like my thing. It's all of ours. Like I would feel comfortable leaving pretty much. I would feel comfortable leaving anyone who's been on the show in charge of an episode or a couple of episodes or whatever, because we know how the show is supposed to sound. We know the direction that we're always going, and we're passionate in talking about what we want to say. And that doesn't matter who's on the show. It's the fact that the people that come on this show are passionate and want to talk about something. I don't think we run into any issues where someone's come on the show and it's just been dead. Like, we haven't had to cut an episode short because it's like, well, we didn't have anything to talk about this week. Sorry, guys. Like,
Well, you really fucked that up. Don't expect... We'll call you. Don't call us.
No, it's never been anything like that.
And I think probably one of the things that made us more nervous was the fact that it wasn't really like, what are we going to talk about? Because especially when you were, not on podcasts, when your first couple absences rolled around, I think the podcast was quite a bit more regimented and news-based and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think the bigger concern was that some of us were still, some of us, self-included, we're still wrapping our head around, like, all of the ideas of, like, what could go wrong and, like, what were, like, the dumb mistakes
that you could do. Yeah, I think we were still worrying about that stuff. A lot of, like,
the So it was like, I remember the first time I was in charge, I think it was me and maybe, like, Francois and maybe, like, Paul. And I know we were just frantically checking over and over again. I was like, okay, so I'm going to clap on three and, like, you're going to hit record. Yeah. You're going to hit record. Is it in Audacity? Are you in Audacity? Like, what are your volume levels at? Why don't you just send me a picture of your desktop so I can just double check everything?
Right.
And then, like, just getting nervous about that thing, or, you know, are your inputs correct? Is your audio, or is your input and output correct? You know, all these little things, because especially after, like, you know, the George thing, you know, forgetting to record and little things like that, like, we all sort of had this picture in the back of our head of, like, what could go wrong in that sort of scenario.
And what if they all went wrong at the same time?
When you said check your inputs, I instinctively checked my input and halfway panicked. I was like, oh my God, what if my computer selected the wrong microphone?
That would be so at that moment, like, two of you are like, oh fuck.
Yeah, there is this implicit, like, if this is wrong, someone's gonna be mad. And we don't know who's gonna be mad, but we know that someone's gonna be mad.
Oh no, I know who it is.
Oh, we know.
I know who it is.
Oh, who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? It's
Mike's gonna be Mike's like the good parent, you know, who would, like, he's like, well, you know,
hold on.
You know,
next time we'll get him, kid. We'll get him, all right, Nick?
Yeah, we'll get him, but you know who's gonna not like this?
Xander's gonna be home at 5:30, and I have to tell him.
The house cleaned up by then.
I have to tell him.
There's a mess. Yeah. There's a mess at the house like last time. I swear. Ooh.
But you know, let it be said. I think instructions and education and shouting have all worked, because I mean, technically we haven't had many of those issues in a long time. So
yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you probably won't hear this podcast because we're going to screw something up.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been a good run. I mean, for a year, that's fantastic. I don't see us stopping anytime soon. But for a year, I mean, how many, I've said this, I've been saying this to people for the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, but how many things can you say you've done regularly for the last year outside of the, you know, regular go to work or make sure you eat breakfast or take a shower? And even sometimes you don't take a shower every day, you know, but we, for a whole year, we've been doing this week in, week out, and that's insane. So we should all be very happy about that. I'm incredibly proud of that. And so, Paul, you should be proud too, and Nick, you as well. Oh, Xander, you just keep on keeping on, man. You're fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stay gold pony boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or however that goes.
I don't know what that is.
You never had to read The Outsiders?
Oh. Nope.
Sorry.
Well, I didn't have to, but it's another one of those fake it till you make it things.
Yeah. I saw the movie.
We've
right?
faked it long enough, notes. Okay, guys? We can actually say that we've made it.
We faked it till we made it, and now at this point, we can actually say we haven't read any of these comic books we've been talking about. I don't know what comic books are.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the more interesting points about this podcast, is that not that people have, like, willfully lied about not reading the classics or things like that, but I do really like that we've been a podcast that's sort of gotten into that and tried to debunk and shatter those ideas of, you know, you have to know everything about comics, or you have to read these books, or, you know, well, you have to read this, you know, Batman story because it's a classic, or things like that. And it's like, read what you want to read. You don't have to read this. You don't have to read that. Sure, you might gain a greater understanding of something or a greater appreciation of a certain person, but we're not about to tell you that you're a bad person or an uninformed person.
It's not mandatory.
Maybe a bad person.
It may be unrelated to comics.
So that's been like a philosophy that I've kept in my mind for a very long time. Whenever I've asked someone to be on the show and they're like, well, I don't know enough about comic books, I couldn't actually talk about what you guys talk about. And
you actually go, that's perfect.
I don't read the same things you do, or I don't read as many books as you do.
Every single person that says that to me, I turn to them, I go, have you read a comic book before? And they said yes. And I go, okay, then you have an opinion on them. And that's
except for that one guy where he said no, and then Mike said, "What the fuck are you doing? Get out!"
That's never been the case. Everybody that we've brought on the show, I think, has brought something new and valuable that always makes us think in a different angle, yeah. Like, because that's what this show mm-hmm. I've always wanted it to be, is discussing from as many different like available opinion or areas about comic books as much as I just butchered that sentence. Welcome to the I Read Comic Books podcast, where Mike doesn't know how to speak and thinks that he's great.
But I think in the last few months, I think maybe since September or October, when we started bringing more and more people in, because for a while it was just like at the beginning,
just the old gang.
Mike, it was just you and Nick, and then it was you and Nick mm-hmm. and Paul, and then you and Paul, and then like it was some variation of that. And you know, when we started bringing in other people, and it's we've heavily done that more recently. I think it's definitely kept the show fresh, because I think for a while it was just like, yeah, we're going to talk about the same comic books because this is what we're reading.
Yeah,
and you know, the rest
of us are actually on this podcast right now.
Yeah, So, no, like, I'm talking to you, Nick, about your.
Are you getting this?
But the idea that, because for a while we were trying to branch out and talk about different things, and like to a certain extent we couldn't do that without bringing other people onto the show.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, yeah. with the different combinations of all of the people that have been on the show now, I think it really makes for some interesting conversation.
Yeah. And this
it's really interesting, especially with the new people, when all of a sudden you're on a podcast with someone you've actually never been on the podcast before with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is why it's so exciting that next week we're gonna be doing what we're calling quote unquote the Great Debate, where after something that Kate and Tia agreed about on Twitter and Paul sent me a message about on Twitter, where we're going to have a discussion about a topic that happened a couple of episodes ago, and I'm very, very excited about that, because we're bringing there's going to be five people on the show all at one time.
It's going to be the most. It's the most people on this.
I don't know how we're going to structure it in the weirdest way. I have no idea how it's going to happen, but it's going to be insane. But if we hadn't tried to bring more and more people in and try to get more people involved in the show, something like this would have never happened, and we wouldn't have been as hyped or as built up, in at least in my head, this is like built up, we're like crazy mm-hmm. About topics like this, and it's going to be really interesting to see the back and forth. But it's exciting. I mean, and we hope to, you know, bring more and more people in the show. I have in my ridiculous mind, I have a schedule, in the sense that I actually have an Excel spreadsheet that I update as often as I can, with rotating out various guests and with myself, or when weeks that I'm not going to be here, you know, making sure that we have everything planned out for 5, 6, 8, 12 weeks in advance, so that people are aware when they're going to be on the show, what kind of stuff we're going to be talking about, so everyone can be prepared to see who they're going to be interacting with, and to make sure that this show comes out on time. Like, it started as that, and now it's become a way to get people who wouldn't normally interact on the show interacting with each other and discussing topics that maybe we've covered a little bit, but we want to go more in depth on, and I don't know. I think that's been great. That's been super awesome, getting everybody to interact with each other. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
What Mike is really trying to say, because he's speaking in code, is that he's finally actually been able to have moments where it's like been all Marvel. And Mike is like, this is my safe place. Yeah. And then next week it's like me and Paul, and it's like, don't you fucking talk about Gambit. We don't want to hear it.
But aren't you happy that you know so much about the X-Men?
All that time you reserved for Gambit, we're talking about Batman.
Yeah. Well, every time you bring it up, Mike's got to give you a little history lesson.
I got to give you a slap on the face and say, I matter too.
He has to, because it's like, I'm one of those that's like, I watch the movies. Occasionally I'm on Wikipedia and it gets too far and I end up on some weird Marvel page. Yesterday I was on the page for TJ Miller's character in Deadpool. I don't know how I got there, but I got there. You know?
Well, I'm glad to have helped.
This is how I...
Have you ever gotten like real... Like this is totally off topic and I'm just running with this topic. Have you ever gotten really, really deep into either Marvel or DC or any comic book, but specifically the big two? Any like super deep onto their Wikipedia pages where you're like reading about characters that you didn't know existed? And they're like background characters to someone, but you're like really into it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I learned. The Marvel Wikia is okay. The DC Wikia is garbage. And Wikipedia itself, oddly enough, tends to be way better at both a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. But that's why I don't go to the Wikia.
Yeah. The only Wikia that matters out there is the Star Wars Wikia.
Fuck Wikias.
Yeah, the Wikipedia.
No, there's two. There's two. Yeah. There's Wikipedia, and then there's the official Star Wars Wikia. And with those two powers combined,
I thought I heard Wikipedia got renamed to Star Wars.
It Wikia. Might have been. I don't know. There's so much. So
not to be super geeky, but I think if you try to go to Wikipedia now, it redirects you.
We'll find that out next time on I Read Comic Books.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm looking that up right now. Actually, no, it is the Star Wars Wikia. You're right.
Oh wow. Well, that place is a gold mine for information.
Oh my God. You fall down that rabbit hole, forget it. You're never coming out.
Yeah, you're stuck.
End of story. Yeah. Like you can learn how to disassemble a stormtrooper blaster rifle on there.
But the thing is, like, how much of that is canon anymore?
Well, it's all legends. Mm-hmm. It's all legends.
E11 Blast Tech blaster rifles are still a
thing. I wasn't calling you out specifically. I'm just saying, like, how much of that expanded Star Wars stuff is like.
Well, we'll see when Marvel brings it back up.
Right. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm going to public service announcement. They released what is officially canon.
Yeah, that's why on the Wikipedia there is current, like, canon, and then there's legends. Like, they separate each and every single page into both of those. So
that's nice they at least called it legends instead of, like, shit.
Riffraff.
Old garbage.
Well, because that's the stuff that a lot of people love.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't be throwing away, like, Mara Jade and all of that shit. Come on.
Even you just said, come on. Shit. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, shit is a weird word. It doesn't have to be pejorative.
Yeah.
Let's get into semiotics and linguistics. Paul, I know you really love this
topic. That's all right. Here we go.
How does tie it back to comics? I dare you. Welcome to how I run every pre-show in this podcast. Yeah. Okay, we're talking about a thing. Yeah. Tie it back to comics. I dare you. Like,
I dare you.
It's still really, do it, really you weird. Won't. I mean, isn't it weird how familiar it is to just talk about Star Wars and Marvel comics and everything being all of the same now? And I remember when that first rolled out, we were like, isn't that weird that it's like Marvel doing Star Wars comics again? It was just bizarre.
Yeah.
And now it's like such a freaking powerhouse for them. It's insane. Like, I'm sure DC looks at that now and they're like, what are we going to do, guys? Like,
they already found their solution. They're going to do the Scooby-Doo, Flintstones.
That's right. That's right.
All the Hanna-Barbera titles. Yes,
that Future Squad, and I sent Paul some tweets about this. That book looks amazing. Amazing.
Yep. Yeah. They can take all my money
on this book, Paul.
That is.
Of course I did, Nick. Of course I did.
I mean, not Paul. Sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. I mean, of course.
Did I see what?
Did you see who's on this book, Future Squad?
Yes. I have no interest in any of that Hanna-Barbera stuff. I'm sorry.
No.
I know.
Doc Shaner, Darwin Cook, come on.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I had zero interest in Flash Gordon, but when Jeff Parker and Doc Shaner were doing Flash Gordon, it was one of the best books I was reading.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the reason to pick it up.
See, you still got recommendations this week, people. Aren't you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
You know, I mean, it just really goes back to, you know, we push it all the time. Follow creators, even though we then, like, a couple weeks later decided to change things up and said, yeah, but there's you know, there are benefits to actually sticking around and seeing how a universe forms and or seeing, you know, what happens with the new team. So here at I Read Comic Books, we are not contradictory. We are nuanced.
Open-minded.
Open-minded.
Yeah.
But it's been a good year. That's all I could say. I'm just going to keep saying that, actually. I can't believe we did this. Can't believe we did this stupid show. I call it stupid, but I'm, like, really proud of it and really excited to do it every week.
Like, it's so stupid. Yeah. I love it.
I know.
Mike's like, I hate it. It's the best.
It's just like X-Men comic books. It's so stupid, but I love it.
Yeah.
if you take away one thing from this episode, it's that I hate comic books and I love them.
Whether you're a long-time listener or you just found the podcast in the past couple weeks, thank you for listening to us as we stumbled through an entire year of this podcast. We hope we continue to entertain and inform you with our conversations about comics. To join the conversation, head over to destroythesaib.org or send us email at cyborg@destroythesaib.org. You can also find us on Twitter @destroythesaib, as well as on each of our personal accounts there, which we'll post in the show notes. We're also on Tumblr @destroythecyborg, as well as on Reddit @ireadcomicbooks.reddit.com. Our host and producer is Mike Rappin, and the show is edited by myself, Xander Riggs. This week's music was brought to you by Young Bay and Infinity Shred. Both bands can be found on Bandcamp youngbebe.bandcamp.com, that's B-A-E, like the kids spell it, and infinityshred.bandcamp.com. You can find more Infinity Shred at infinityshred.com. If you love the show as much as we do, spread that love. Tell someone about the podcast, rate us online, or write to us. We'd love to hear from you. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening.
No, my dad really liked latest thing he read. He read a first volume of Vader, and he's actually been taking a drawing class recently. So
you're gonna write a comic, and your dad's gonna draw it?
I mean, that
slow
that
the
would
fuck
be
down,
something.
Paula Rivera.
But I'm just really relieved because he actually liked it, and I think the second volume of Vader just rolled out, so I'm not like, you know, being thrown under the bus now where it's like, well, where's volume two? Well,
yeah, right,
here it
right.
is.
But now what happens when he finishes that and wants volume three?
Yeah, well, then we're fucked.
Yeah.
then we're going to have to make volume three, you know.
You just write the story on your own to make it work.
And then we get a cease and desist from Disney, despite not actually ever distributing it to anyone between our right. between each
somehow
other.
Somehow they find out. Yeah. Because of Skynet slash Cylons. Right.
Slash any of those other situations where it's like, it sure is good, you still use a telegraph machine instead of a phone.
Yeah.
That would be like the ultimate hipster.
Yeah, I feel like those stories are written by those hipsters that are like really upset because they don't want or can't have the like newest technologies or whatever.
They have to wait till it's retro.
Yeah, they have to wait. Yeah, exactly. It's got to be, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years later until they can actually have it.
You might love VLC player, but at some point you're going to wish you had Winamp when that tech virus comes through. And
oh my God.
I know, that was really
all those zero-day viruses, you know.
Did any of the rest of you have Winamp? Like, did you get obsessed with Winamp?
Yeah, I used Winamp religiously. Yeah. I had the color scheme and the theme craft, like, to the most perfect degree for myself.
Oh, my God. Oh, Winamp skins. Like, I could just look at Winamp skins forever. 2,300
song playlists so that I could just hit shuffle on my library. Yeah. Customized all the ID3 tags so they appeared properly in Winamp. Nick, yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was more of a rhetorical question for you, Mike, clearly.
Had an equalizer that was unique to just me on my computer because I downloaded a plugin that gave me a 64-component equalizer.
Oh,
not
Christ.
That I could tell the difference, but so that I knew that my playback of every song was going to be unique compared to anyone else's. So, you want to ask me if I had Winamp, Nick?
You come into my house and you ask me if I had Winamp?
Do you still have it because you're still one in Windows 95?
Oh, man. Dick move.
You told me that Chrome was expiring for your OS, and I went, oh, fuck. Nick's still on XP, isn't he?
Yeah. Jesus, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Necessity is the mother of invention, and right now, there ain't no necessity. Well, there's soon to be a necessity come April.
Yeah.
Now that everyone knows my operating system, you know.
Yeah.
Gonna get hacked. Why don't you just dox me while you're at it, Jesus?
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you asked for it, so.
Well, that is what he wanted.
Yeah. It's not bad if he said he wanted it. Doxing is consent, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Stop, Xander.
Sorry.
We can't do this episode now.
Geez, why don't we just, I mean, at this point, why don't we just bring up Gamergate and just really just kick this episode into the stratosphere?
This is about ethics in comics journalism.
Look, not all comic book fans, you guys. Not all comic book
fans. Oh,
no! Yes, all comic book fans.
Yes, all comic, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, all white comics. Okay?
Oh, yes. Oh, God. So, welcome to the I Read Comic Books podcast.
Yeah, right. We're going to just put this up unedited, right? That's what we're going to do for this
episode. Yeah, this is a live episode.
Just destroy all of the quality that we've built up for the last 54, 55 episodes.
Now that it's just us dudes.
Yeah. Now that it's just the cool people who can take a joke.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
This is...
I know. All right.
No, this is, like, it's getting too much.
This is post-irony, okay? Yeah.